عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, Adam, and created from it its mate, Eve, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire, meaning the one who practices that strain. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, the topic is Al-Khula', women seeking divorce. And the Khula' will begin with the definition of what is the Khula' by the scholar Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, who died about 600 years after the Hijra of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he was considered the most knowledgeable person, or the one who had the most understanding of fiqh, that had ever entered into the city of Baghdad after Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. He said that the khula' is أن المرأة إذا كرهت زوجها لخلقه أو خلقه أو دينه أو كبره أو ضعفه أو نحو ذلك، وخشيت ألا تؤدي حق الله في طاعته، جاز لها أن تخالعه بعوض تفتدي به نفسها منه. وقال السيد سابق حفظه الله: وأن تخاف المرأة ألا تقيم حدود الله فيما يجب عليها من حسن الصحبة وجميل المعاشرة. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he said that a lady, if she does not like her husband, a wife, if she does not like her husband because of his creation, or his character, or his deen, or his elderliness, or him being weak, or something like that, and she fears that she would not be able to fulfill her rights to her Lord by obeying him, then it is permissible for her to have a khula', type of nullification of the marriage by giving the dowry or the sadaq back to the husband. And Sayyid Sabiq, hafizahullah, he had added or clarifying this point in Fiqh Sunnah, he says, if a lady fears that she could not keep the limit set by Allah and that which He subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory on her from living kindly with her husband and treating him good, then she could seek, or then it is permissible for her to seek a khular. So here Ibn Qudama and Sayyid Sabiq rahimahullah, they are making it clear to us that the khular is when the lady, she has an excuse about her husband, either from his creation. She doesn't like the way he looks, he's not tall enough, he's not muscular enough, he's not short enough, he's not handsome enough, he's not whatever from his creation. Or she dislikes his deen. He doesn't make his salah in the masjid. He doesn't get up at night every now and then to make tahajjud. He doesn't fast every now and then or in the month of Ramadan. He doesn't like to dress with the clothing of the Muslim men. Any aspect of his deen that she feels he's deficient in, whether it's from those affairs that are compulsory, or she just wants someone who's going to go the extra length to be among the salihin, to be among the righteous men, if that is her complaint, or something similar to what we have mentioned, then it is permissible for her, if that's the circumstances of her marriage, of her husband, and she feels because of it she can't obey Allah by being obedient to her husband. As Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has made it incumbent upon the women to obey every command of their husband and those fares that are right and in obedience to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. If this lady fears that because of this circumstances of her husband that she can't obey him and live with him in kindness, then it is permissible for her to seek a khulu' type of dissolving of the marriage. So this is a khulu' when a lady, because of this reason, wants to have her marriage dissolved with her husband. And this is based on an ayah in the Quran and a hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, as we try to make all of our durus, all of our lessons, based on the statements of our Lord tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which has been authentically reported on him. But before we get to the point of the evidences that support a khulu' being permissible in Islam, and that it takes these characteristics, we want to take a look at what each husband should be upon and each wife should be upon before we even look at the khulu'. And this is a reminder, as Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and make a reminder because a reminder benefits the believers. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, He tells us in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 19, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُوا النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells the men of Islam, O you who believe, it is not permissible for you to inherit women against their wills. And here Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is nullifying that what used to be permissible in the days of Jahiliyyah, when a man died, his best friend, his brother, father or something, just automatically became the husband of his wife. Automatically. Whether she liked it or she didn't like it, she kind of became the property of who her husband left behind as a father or a brother or a close friend or what have you, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made this haram for the believing men, that they cannot inherit the women against their wills. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala goes on to say, and do not harm them, the women, and do not harm them in order to take back that which you have already given them. Here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is showing us Muslim men that it is not permissible for us, if we don't like a lady, to treat her so bad that it forces her to seek a khulr and to give back the dowry that we gave to her in the first place. And this is what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying, and do not harm them in order to take back that which you have given them. You gave her $5,000 as a dowry, or $1,000 as a dowry, or $2,000 as a dowry, or whatever you gave her as a sadaq or a mahr or a dowry. Then you decide, I must have been a fool. How in the world could I have given a lady like this that type of dowry? If I divorce her, I'm going to get rid of her, and of course I'm going to get rid of her. But my money too? It's bad enough I had to put up with her for this, and then the 3 months of the iddah, and then she takes my money too, so what I'll do is I'll dog her out, curse her out, beat her, treat her harshly, make it impossible for her to live with me, so she'll say, hun, take your dowry back and just let me go. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made this haram for the men to treat the women harshly in order to force them to seek this khulr. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala went on to say, except if they have done an abominable deed. Except if they have done an abominable deed. فَاحِشَةٌ مُبَيِّنَةٌ. And most of the ulama, they say that this is in specific adultery. If the lady committed adultery, then you do what you like to force her out of your house, or to just divorce her and then kick her out, or whatever, you can kick her out. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He makes this an exception. If the lady goes so far as to commit adultery, or she transgresses the bounds of disobedience to her husband, then the men, they can make it uncomfortable for her, in order that she give her dowry back and seek the khulr, or you just divorce her if you don't want the money back and just kick her out of your house, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this permissible in these circumstances. And this isn't for the men to think that any little type of disobedience, any type of suggestion from the lady that she may have done some wrong, to take this as an abominable deed from the lady, to make it hard on her, and then kick it out. And we know how the men are just trying to make any type of excuse just to treat those people who Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has put in their care harshly. So let's not take this as an open excuse just to treat the women harshly because of any little problem that we find from them, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to show us in a minute, as He says after that point, and I command you to live with them bil ma'ruf, and I command you to live with them justly, I command you to live with them in kindness. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is commanding the men in every sense of the word being kind, in the way we have our living quarters, in the way we speak to them, in the way we spend our wealth on them, the way we treat them in general, that it is the best manner that we treat them, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has commanded the men to treat the women kindly. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala goes on to show the men what He means tabarak wa ta'ala by treating them kindly, as He adds, and if you dislike something about them, and if you dislike something about them, then perhaps you dislike a thing that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made so much good in it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He has commanded us to live with the women in kindness and to treat them fairly, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also shows us that there may be something in them that you may dislike, that you may find it difficult to get along with them, and they have this, but Allah may have put much good in this thing, or in this lady, excuse me, that has a thing with her that you don't like. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the men that they shouldn't be quick. That they shouldn't be quick in leaving their wife, or to treat their wife harshly, or to throw her out the house, or to divorce her, because maybe if she has one thing that you can't tolerate, maybe Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has put so much good in her outside of that one thing that you can't tolerate. And this is from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 19, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, it is not permissible for you to inherit your women unjustly or against their will. And do not harm them in order to take back that which you have given them, except that they do an abominable deed. And I command you to live with them in justice and in kindness. And if you dislike a thing about them, then perhaps you may dislike a thing, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has put much good in that thing. And this is from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 19, and this is an admonition to the men. As far as the women go, and if the men want more admonition than this, to advise them to treat their women kindly, then there were a few of our talks where we brought the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that taught the men how to treat the women kindly, as the WOP2 tape. And one of the recent lectures, I forget the name of it, but there are a few lectures where we have brought many of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that taught the women, taught the men how to treat the women kindly. The next hadith is from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collected by Ibn Hibban, and it's authentic in his advice for the Muslim lady. عن حسين بن محسن أن عمة له أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في حاجة ففرغت من حاجتها فقال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أذات زوج أنت؟ قالت نعم. قال كيف أنت له؟ قالت ما آلوه إلا ما عجزت عنه. قال فانظري أين أنت منه؟ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ جَنَّتُكِ وَنَارُكِ. And this is collected by Imam Ahmed and Al-Hakim and not Ibn Hibban, and it's authentic, where Hussein ibn Mursin radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that one of my aunts on my father's side came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for an affair that she had to take care of with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she finished her business with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, "Do you have a husband?" She said, "Yes." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "How do you treat him?" She said, "I never fall short in obeying him, treating him kindly, and serving him, except when I don't have the ability to do so." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You make sure you look at how you treat him, because he is your way to Jannah or to the hellfire." Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this authentic hadith, is showing the women that they have to go through all lengths to make sure that they obey their husband's every command. They have to go through all lengths to make sure that they serve their husbands properly. They have to go through all lengths to make sure that they make their husbands happy, as doing this is their way to Jannah, and not doing this is their way to the hellfire. And if the women want more advice on how they should treat their husband, then we had the class and the purification of the souls, the women of Jannah. But we see from this ayah in the book of Allah, and this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam, that both the husband and the wife in the first place are supposed to go to all lengths to try to please one another and to live with one another in obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and in happiness and harmony amongst themselves. This is the first thing that we have to take into consideration before we even begin to look at the issue of the khulr. Now, when it comes to the issue of the khulr, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has revealed
to us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 229. الطلاق مرتان فإمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله فإن خفتم ألا يقيما حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها ومن يتعد حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 229, divorce is two times. Either you take them back in kindness or you let them go in kindness. Divorce is two times, meaning you have the chance to divorce your wife and then take her back in kindness. Divorce your wife the second time and take her back in kindness. There's only two times for the men to divorce their wives and take them back in kindness. And this is what is meant by the statement of Allah, الطلاق مرتان, that divorce is twice. Meaning two times you have the option to take your wife back. As for the third time, you don't have the option to take your wife back. Of course, until she marries another man with a proper type of marriage. And then it goes through that which it goes through until there's a proper type of divorce. Then and only then is it permissible for the first one who had divorced his wife three times to ever go back to him. And that's the issue that we had discussed in the fifth class on marriage. At any rate, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us divorce is twice. You either take them back in kindness or you let them go in kindness. And before we continue for the rest of this ayah, we want to make this point for the men who may be considering divorcing their women, that it is only permissible for the men to divorce their women in two time frames, or at two times. One, if she's pregnant. If your wife is pregnant, it is perfectly permissible for you to divorce her. The other time is when she is not on her menstrual cycle and you had not had sex with her since her last menstrual cycle. Meaning between two of her menstrual cycles, you were not intimate with her. In between those two menstrual cycles, where you had not touched her sexually, then it is permissible for you to divorce her. And the only other time where it's permissible for you to divorce her is while she is pregnant. These are the only two times when the men have permission by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to divorce the women. This is the important point, as many of the men still continue to divorce their women when it is not permissible for them to divorce their women. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says a divorce is twice. You take them back in kindness or either you let them go in kindness. And it is not permissible for you to take back that which you have given to them. It is not permissible for you to take back the dowry, which is the mahar of the sadaq in Arabic. You have. It is not permissible for you to take it back. You give the sister $5,000 as a dowry. You're having hard times with your money, and you want, and you need, not you want, and you need some more money, so you're going to take your wife's dowry and spend it, and then talk about you want to give it back to her at a later time. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us it is not permissible for you to take back anything from that which you have given them. What you have given the women as a sadaq, as a mahar, as a dowry, that's her property, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made it haram on her husband to take any of it. One penny less or more is not permissible for that man to take it back, except, as Allah goes on, except if both of them fear that both of them could not keep the boundary set by Allah. Here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going into that which we call the khular,
Where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is making it permissible to take back that which you have given her from her mahr, her sadaq, her dowry. Allah is making it permissible to take it back if both of you fear that you can't keep the boundary set by Allah. The husband, he feels, if this lady remains my wife, I have to treat her unkindly. I got to talk back to her. I got to play this, I got to give her this mental abuse or play mental games on her. I have to use bad language with her. I have to beat her and hit on her unjustly. I have to make it hard on her because I just can't bear living with this lady in kindness. If you feel that a lady has driven you to the point where you can't speak kindly to her, where you can't treat her kindly, if the lady drives you to this point, then you know you have come to the point either of divorce or the point of khulr, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes it permissible for the man to take back that which he has given the lady of the sadaq or the mahr or the dowry. Then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala goes on and says, so if you fear that both of you can't keep the boundary set by Allah, then there is no problem for the lady to give back that which you have given her. And this right here, this part of the verse is the proof, as the ulama show, from the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that the khulr is permissible in Islam, and it is when the lady feels and the husband feels that they both cannot keep the duties that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made obligatory on both of them. They feel that they can't keep the duty set by Allah, their obligation to their Lord, then it is permissible for that man to take back from that lady or to accept from that lady that which he has given her from the sadaq or the mahr or the dowry, so that he can let her go with a khulr type of dissolving of the marriage. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ends this verse off by saying, these are the boundaries set by Allah, so don't transgress these boundaries. And whoever transgresses the boundaries set by Allah, then they are the wrongdoers. This is the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 229, that showed that the khulr is prescribed in Islam. As Allah says, divorce is twice. Either you take them back in kindness or you let them go in kindness. And it is not permissible for you men to take back the dowry or the sadaq or the mahar that you have given to your wives, except that both of you fear that you will not keep your duties to Allah. And if you fear that you both cannot keep your duties to Allah, then it is permissible for the lady to give back her dowry for the khulr type of nullification of the marriage. These are the boundaries set by Allah, so do not transgress these boundaries, and whoever transgresses the boundary set by Allah, then they are the wrongdoers. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 229. We also have the hadith of Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, qal, jaa imra'atu thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas ila an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam faqalat, يا رسول الله ما أنقم على ثابت في دين ولا في خلق إلا أني أخاف الكفر. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فتردين عليه حديقته؟ قالت نعم. فردت عليه وأمره ففارقها. This hadith collected by Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and it is authentic, wa Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the scholar of this ummah radiallahu anhu. He said, the wife of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu anha wa radiallahu anhu, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and she said, O Messenger of Allah, I don't hold anything against Thabit concerning his deen or his character, except that I'm afraid of kufr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Will you give him back his garden?" She said, "Yes." Then she gave it back to him, and he was commanded, and he separated himself from his wife, or the marriage was nullified. Here we see in this hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah that the lady, the wife of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, she had a complaint about her husband, and that was that she felt afraid of kufr. And the word kufr in Arabic, it has two possible meanings, and the ulama, they give both of these possible meanings to the statement of the sister radiallahu anha. She was afraid of kufr, meaning disbelief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. She was afraid that if she remained with this man, that it would drive her to disbelief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is even from the statement of some of the women today, as some of the people said, he drove her out of Islam. Because of the situation in that marriage was so difficult for her, that it just drove her to kufr. And this lady, radiallahu anha, the wife of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, she was afraid that she might fall into kufr because of the unbearable circumstances with her husband. We also see from this hadith that she mentions that the problem isn't his deen or his character. That the problem isn't his deen or his character. And here we see, as this khulr had taken place, that there are other reasons for a lady to feel that she can no longer remain with her husband other than the issues of deen and character. Other than the issues that he doesn't make his salah in the masjid, or he's not fasting in Ramadan, or he's not providing for her, from those things from the deen, or those things from his character, that he's not speaking harshly to her, he's not treating her unkindly or unjustly, and so on. That there are other reasons that may drive a lady to wanting to be divorced from her husband. And if the lady feels that the situation has gone to that level, then it is permissible for that lady to seek a khulr type of dissolving of that marriage, as it took place during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We also see from the other narration of Imam Malik in his Muwatta, and Abu Dawood in his Sunan, and Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahumullahu jami'an, on the authority of Habiba bint Sahlin al-Ansari radiallahu anha, annaha kanat tahta Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu anhu, wa anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja ila al-subhi fawajada Habiba bint Sahlin inda babihi fil ghalasi. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذه قالت أنا حبيبة بنت سهل يا رسول الله قال ما شأنك قالت لا أنا ولا ثابت بن قيس لزوجها فلما جاء زوجها ثابت بن قيس قال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه حبيبة بنت سهل قد ذكرت ما شاء الله أن تذكر فقالت حبيبة يا رسول الله كل ما أعطاني عندي فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لثابت بن قيس خذ منها فأخذ منها وجلست في بيت أهلها. And this narration is also authentic, where Habiba, the daughter of Sahl al-Ansari رضي الله عنها, she was the wife of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu anhu. And that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went out outside going to the masjid to make Salatul Fajr, where he found Habiba bint Sahl radiallahu anha at his door during the last part of the darkness of the night. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Who is this?" She said, "I am Habiba bint Sahl, ya Rasulallah." He said, "What is, what's up, or what is your case?"
or what brings you here? She said, me and Thabit just can't remain together any longer. Me and Thabit, Ibn Qais, my husband, we cannot remain together any longer. So when Thabit Ibn Qais radiallahu anhu came, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is Habiba bint Sahlin, and she had mentioned whatever Allah had allowed her to mention. So she said, ya Rasulullah, every single thing that he has given me from the dowry, I have it with me. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Thabit, take this from her. And he took it from her, and then she went back home to her family. We see in this narration of Imam Malik in his Muwatta that the khul' took place during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and that was if the lady felt that she could not remain with her husband any longer, then it is upon her to give back all of the dowry, the mahr, the sadaq that was given to her by her husband, and then the marriage would be dissolved when he accepted that, and she could go back home to her family as the marriage would be dissolved. Not only do we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that the khul' is prescribed in Islam on the tongue of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we see something that we didn't see in the ayah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah had mentioned, if both of you fear that you can't keep your duties to Allah. If both of you fear that you can't keep your duties to Allah. Here we see from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if the lady alone fears that she can't keep her duty to Allah, then it is sufficient for the khul' to take place. If the lady alone fears that she can't keep her duty to Allah by obeying her husband and living with him in kindness and fulfilling his manly desire, if she feels that she can't do this, it is sufficient for the khul' to take place. If she gives back all of the sadaq, all of the mahr, all of the dowry that he had given to her at the time of marriage, then the marriage will be dissolved with the khul' type of dissolving of the marriage. And this is the khul' in Islam. However, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he has discouraged the women in the strongest possible language to seek a divorce or a khul' from their husbands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged the women in the strongest language from seeking a khul' from their husbands or divorce from their husbands for no valid reason. For no valid reason, meaning not for other than the reason that she can't keep her duties to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by obeying her husband and fulfilling his manly desire. This means not for a valid reason. Because that which is valid means you cannot obey Allah by obeying your husband and fulfilling his manly desire. If it's for other than that, then it's not valid. And the Prophet ﷺ has discouraged the women from seeking this type of khul' or talaq. As the Messenger of Allah ﷺ in the authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi says, أَيُّمَا مْرَأَةٍ سَأَلَتْ زَوْجَهَا طَلَاقًا فِي غَيْرِ مَا بَأْسٍ فَحَرَامٌ عَلَيْهَا رَائِحَةُ الْجَنَّةِ The Messenger of Allah ﷺ says, any lady that asks her husband for a divorce, any lady that asks her husband for a divorce, for a separation, for a nullification of the marriage or khul', for no valid reason, then it is haram for her to smell the fragrance of Jannah.
then it is haram, not permissible for her to smell the fragrance of Jannah. Any lady that seeks to be separated from her husband by talaq or by khular, by divorce or by the khular type of nullification of the marriage, for no valid reason, then it is haram, not permissible for that lady to smell the fragrance of Jannah. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is discouraging the women from seeking this khular or this divorce for no valid reason, because that lady has to stand before her Lord Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and if that reason was not valid, then she won't smell the fragrance of Jannah. And this is a serious statement from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in order to discourage the women from seeking the khular or the divorce. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says in this hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, and it is authentic insha'Allah ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, al-mukhtali'atu hunna al-munafiqat, that the women who seek khular, they are the munafiq women. The women who seek the khular are the munafiq women. The women who seek their marriage to be dissolved by the khulr type of dissolving of the marriage, then these women are the munafiq women. And the munafiq is the one who outwardly expresses Islam, but in their hearts they really disbelieve in Islam. The munafiq is the one who outwardly expresses Islam, and inwardly they disbelieve in Islam. So no one can actually know who is the munafiq, but no one actually knows that someone's not the munafiq either. Because the munafiq on the outside is a Muslim, but on the inside they're a disbeliever. They're a Muslim, why? They go to the masjid, they make the salah, and they practice Islam a little bit, but on the inside they really disbelieve in Islam, and they're enemies of Islam, but for some strange reason they just don't have the courage to come out and say that they're disbelievers. However, the ulama have given an explanation to this hadith, and they make it coincide with the meaning of the hadith that came before. The women who seek khulr are the munafiq women. The women who seek the khulr for no valid reason, they are the munafiq women. Not just any lady who seeks a khulr is from the munafiq women, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he's referring to those women who seek the khulr for no valid reason. So here we see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, we see that he is discouraging the women from seeking this khulr for no valid reason. And when you hear the language that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses, any lady would fear that her reason is not a valid reason. And any lady who feels that her reason, no matter how valid it may seem, is not valid, then this is the lady who fears her Lord tabarak wa ta'ala inshaAllah, and this is the lady who is understanding the warning of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these two hadiths. Any lady that seeks a divorce from her husband for no valid reason, it is haram for her to smell the fragrance of Jannah, and the women who seek the khulr for no valid reason, they are the munafiq women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is for the women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other hand has discouraged the men, as we have saw already, from encouraging the women to seek a khulr. Allah has discouraged the men from encouraging the women to seek a khulr, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah verse number 231, وَإِذَا طَلَقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. And do not hold your women in a harmful manner so as to transgress the bounds. Do not hold your women against their will. You know you're dogging her out.
You know she doesn't want to be with you. You know she has a valid reason to be separate from you, and you want to hold her just to harm her. No. I ain't letting you go. It's going to be like a torture. I'm not going to let you go. It's going to be like you're not married with me, and I ain't going to let you marry nobody else just for treating me like that. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is prohibiting the men from having this type of spite in order to hold the women against their own wills, to treat them harmfully, as Allah describes this as transgressing the bounds. And Allah goes on to say, and whoever does this has wronged his own soul. Whoever does this has wronged his own soul. And do not take the verses of Allah as fun and game or as mockery. Don't try to use the book of Allah or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to put harm on the people because of a technicality. And in America it seems as we've been raised on this judicial system of kufr that teaches us that the criminals can get away on a technicality. We've been raised on this to think that we can harm someone and treat someone badly and unkindly so long as a technicality can get us out of that situation. Akhi, the sister saying I'm harming her. Does anybody see me treat my wife bad? I don't know what she's talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't allowed the men to make fun of the ayat of Allah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala commands us Muslim men to keep our wives in kindness or to let them go in kindness. And don't make a mockery out of Allah's ayat by treating the sister harshly, cursing her out, talking about she don't know how to act. You cursing her out, you talking about she don't know how to act. If she don't know how to act, let her go in kindness. Otherwise, cursing her out is just making fun of the ayat of Allah. He commands you to treat her kindly, to keep her in kindness or let her go in kindness, and you just looking at the ayat like, man, nix that stuff and go home and curse your wife out. And this cursing of the wife out of the women, unfortunately, I don't know how many women complain their husbands cursing them out. And it seems that soon we're going to have to start talking to the men on a one-on-one basis or whatever to start advising them more outside of these talks and these lectures, because the men, they're just making a mockery of this deen by treating their women harshly and unjustly with this flimsy fake excuse that the lady made her do it. You just like the kafir who's going to the hellfire and asks, why you do it? The devil made me do it. As if that's an excuse to get away. Why you a kafir? The devil made me do it. My father made me do it. My wife made me do it. These excuses are no excuse. You can't stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, my wife made me curse her out, oh Allah. Allah's going to ask you, didn't I tell you to keep her in kindness and let her go in kindness? Tell me what you're going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then. What excuse are you going to have in front of Allah and when He says, did not I reveal to you, keep her in kindness and let her go in kindness? What excuse do you have to curse her out? You have no excuse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and say, remember the blessings that Allah had bestowed upon you. And remember that which Allah has revealed to you from the kitab and the hikmah, or from the Quran and the sunnah. And this ayah here, Allah is showing us that the sunnah has been revealed. That which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been revealed from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala from this ayah in Quran. And remember the blessings of Allah on you, and remember what He has revealed to you from the kitab and the hikmah, from the Quran and the sunnah. That which is an advice or an admonition or an exhortation for you. And fear Allah and know that indeed Allah is the Alim over all things. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discourages the men from encouraging the women to seek a khulr. Oh, you just want a khulr, sister? Aye. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is discouraging the men from having this type of attitude. Is that keeping her in kindness like that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also discourages the men, as He says in Surah An-Nisa, verses 20 and 21, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجًا
وإن أردتم استبدال زوج مكان زوج آتيتم إحداهن قنطارا فلا تأخذوا منه شيئا أتأخذونه بهتانا وإثما مبينا كيف تأخذونه وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض وأخذنا منكم ميثاقا غليظا.
Allah says, Tabarak wa ta'ala, has translated from Surah An-Nisa, verse numbers 20 and 21. If any one of you men wants to replace his wife by divorcing her and marrying another wife in her place, then don't take back any of the sadaq, the mahar, the dowry that you gave to her. Are you going to take this back falsely and unjustly without any right and to be a clear sin against yourself? Are you going to take it back after both of you have had relations with one another and you have taken a strong and a firm covenant with those women? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discouraging us. As we know that we have given them the women their dowry for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible to the men from their private parts. And that this sadaq of giving the mahar or the dowry to the lady and taking them in marriage makes their private parts permissible to the men. After you give them this sadaq to make that permissible to you, and then you take that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made permissible to you, then after that you're going to take it back. This is to make a clear sin against yourself, and whoever does this is doing it falsely and unjustly without a right. Some of the people look surprised, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, the wise. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is teaching us that if you want another lady instead of the wife you have, just let your wife go in kindness. And don't take back anything that you gave her and then marry that other lady that you desire. But don't be like the men who say, "Man, I'm tired of that sister. I don't like her no more. I'm going to marry sister so-and-so. But first, I'm going to make it so uncomfortable on her that she wants to khuller, take that money, then go marry another sister." This is haram. This is not permissible. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discouraging the men in the strongest sense from encouraging their women to ask for a khuller. Rather, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is prohibiting the men from forcing the women to ask for a khuller. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in Surah At-Talaq, أَسْكِنُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ سَكَنْتُمْ مِنْ وُجْدِكُمْ وَلَا تُضَارُّهُنَّ لِتُضَيِّقُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ. This is verse number 6 from Surah At-Talaq, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, "I command you to provide shelter for them with the type of shelter that you would have for your own self from among your means. And do not harm them in order to make it so uncomfortable for them. Do not harm them in order to make it so uncomfortable for them that it would force them to seek a khuller." So here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is prohibiting the men from forcing the women to take a khuller and discouraging the men in general from having the women to ask for a khuller. After all of this has taken place and the khuller takes place and it's done correctly and properly for the valid reason, then we have the hadith of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah on the authority of Rubay' bint Mu'awwiz ibn Afra, annaha ikhtala'at ala ahdi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa'amaraha an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aw umirat an ta'tad bihayda.
قال أبو عيسى رحمه الله حديث الربيع الصحيح أنها أمرت أن تعتد بحيضة. وقال مصطفى العدوي حفظه الله وقد صوب البيهقي رحمه الله ما صوبه الترمذي رحمه الله وضعف هذا الحديث أي ضعف كونه مرفوعا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi رحمه الله, it is an authentic hadith in one sense and an unauthentic hadith in another sense. And I'll explain, as this hadith is on the authority of Rubay' bin Mu'awwaz ibn Afra, that she had had a khul' during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded her, or she was commanded, and let's pay attention to this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded her, or she was commanded to wait one menstrual cycle as an iddah period for her. Abu Isa, and this is the kunya of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, he said, that which is sahih, that which is correct, is that she was commanded to wait one menstrual cycle as an iddah for herself. Mustafa al-Adwi rahimahullah, he says that Imam al-Bayhaqi has said that that was correct, that which Imam al-Tirmidhi said was correct, that she was commanded to wait one menstrual cycle as a iddah, and that the hadith is da'if, meaning the statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded her to wait one menstrual cycle as a iddah is da'if. And here we see some of the intricacies of the science of hadith. Here we see some of the intricacies of the science of hadith, that they narrate that which comes to them just like it came to them. It came to Imam al-Tirmidhi and he narrated it the way it came to him. The Prophet ﷺ commanded her, or she was commanded to wait one menstrual cycle as an iddah period for herself. That this or that, it came that way, and the ulama of hadith, they narrated just like it came. If they have some evidence to show them what is correct, then they would take that which is correct. Otherwise, they narrate that which came to them exactly the way it came to them. And then there's a long drawn out explanation at proving why it has been authentically reported that she was commanded to take the iddah period of one menstrual cycle, and that the Prophet ﷺ did not command her to take the iddah period one menstrual cycle. This is the topic of the waiting period for the lady who has sought a khul', and that it is one menstrual cycle. The next narration, and it is the narration of Imam al-Nasa'i, and it's an authentic narration, and it's also on the authority of Rubay' bint Mu'awwid, قُلْتُ لَهَا, and this is Ubadah ibn al-Walid ibn Ubadah ibn Samit, who said, قُلْتُ لَهَا حَدِّثِينِي حَدِيثَكَ قَالَتْ اِخْتَلَعْتُ مِنْ زَوْجِي ثُمَّ جِئْتُ عُثْمَانَ فَسَأَلْتُهُ مَاذَا عَلَيَّ مِنَ الْعِدَّةِ فقال لا عدة عليك إلا أن تكوني حديثة عهد بي فتمكثي حتى تحيضي حيضة. قال وأنا متبع في ذلك قضاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في مريم المغالية كانت تحت ثابت بن قيس بن شماس فاختلعت منه. Here in this authentic narration of Imam al-Nasa'i on the authority of Rubay' bin Mu'awwaz, and this story is being narrated by Ubadah ibn al-Walid, he said, I said to her, tell me about what took place. She said, I had a khul' from my husband. Then I went to Uthman, and this is Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the third khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. the rightly guided Khalifa. So I came to Uthman and I questioned him, what is compulsory upon me concerning the iddah after this khulr? He said, there is no iddah for you. There is no iddah for you except that you have newly been married to him. Then you would wait one menstrual cycle as an iddah period. Then Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I am following the verdict of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam concerning Maryam al-Ghaliyya al-Maghaliyya, the wife of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, when she got divorced from him. And this has been authentically reported by Imam al-Nasa'i. We see from this text that after the khul' takes place, that the lady waits one menstrual cycle as her iddah period. And this is, as Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu had mentioned in the beginning, that there is no iddah for her unless she has been newly married with him, or as some of the ulama have explained, as if she has newly or recently had intercourse with him, that she's going to wait this period to make sure that she's not pregnant. To make sure that she's not pregnant. This is the iddah of the lady after the khulr. We have mentioned earlier that after the khulr, the lady leaves the house of the husband and is over with. She goes back to her family or wherever she's going. Then wherever she goes, in that new place of residence, she's going to wait one menstrual cycle as her iddah if she has recently been with her husband sexually, or otherwise, if it's clear that she's not pregnant, then the khulr just takes place and she's free to marry whoever she likes. This is what we wanted to present tonight on this issue of khulr. That firstly, the khulr is when the lady is dissatisfied with her husband, either his being, or his character, or his creation, the way Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created him. Or she just simply fears that she cannot keep her duty to her Lord by obeying her husband's every command or fulfilling his manly desire, then it is permissible for the lady in these circumstances to give back her dowry to her husband, and that this nullification of the marriage is called a khulr. And this is how it takes place. And we had mentioned that the proof of this was from the verse in Quran where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah verse number 229 had made it permissible for the women to give back that dowry if she felt that she couldn't keep her duties to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we know from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the lady had came to him complaining about her husband, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her to give back the dowry in full, and he accepted it, and then the khulr had took place, and it was the nullification of the marriage. We also mentioned, as advice to the men and the women, that the men should treat their women kindly, and they should be happy with their women, and they should be a little more patient with some of the problems that they encounter being with their women. And the same thing on the women's side, that the women should do their best to treat their husbands kindly and to be patient with that which they find with their husbands. And then we went on to show that if it the lady had understood that she would not smell the fragrance of paradise if she sought a khulr for no valid reason, or that she would be among the munafiqs, the people who have the lowest place in the hellfire if she sought a khulr for no valid reason, if the lady, she understood this, and then after taking this into consideration, she wanted the khulr, and it took place properly, then the waiting period for the lady is one menstrual cycle to make sure that she's not pregnant. And if it is already known for a certainty that she's not pregnant, then there's nothing on her. This is what we wanted to present on the issue of the khulr. And if it was correct, then the success is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala.
And if anything was incorrect, then it's from me and the shaitan. Wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now we can take them back. Question: I know that Muslims are supposed to give the deen to the kufr. Is it a fitna for a husband to give the deen to a kufr woman while his wife is standing right in his face? Oh, I guess she means the da'wah. I know that Muslim women are supposed to give the da'wah. I know that the Muslims, she said Muslim, I know that the Muslim men are supposed to give the da'wah to the disbelievers. Is it a fitna for a husband to give the da'wah to a disbelieving lady while his wife is standing right in his face? I thought we would take the questions related to our issue. That which is permissible is permissible. And it is permissible for the men to call humanity to Islam, just as it is permissible for the women to call humanity to Islam. And then we take into consideration the etiquette of Islam after that. Is it permissible for a woman to be jealous over another woman, whether she is a Muslim or not? Whether it's permissible or not, you're going to find yourself still being jealous, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Some of the brothers, not all of them, talk about how you want a virgin wife. Okay, Allah blesses you with a beautiful, precious, young, innocent bride, and you treat them after that like dirt. You talk to them any way you want. You tell them you're going to kick them out of your houses. You try to shape and mold them into what you want them to be. But when you come out in front of the masjid, it's a whole new different story. These women don't deserve your harsh treatment. They bend over backwards for you, even take care of your children. These women don't need this as their first experience at love, as this is their first experience at love and companionship. These young virgins need a better treatment than what you're giving them. Ameen. Is it permissible for the spouse to bring up past relationships to his or her new spouse to make him or her feel jealous in this Islam? It's upon both partners to treat each other kindly, and that if this isn't kind treatment, then it's not permissible. And if they feel that it's kind treatment, then it's permissible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What if the husband will not accept the dowry back and refuses to let her go? The ulama of Islam, they answer this question with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he told Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, take that dowry back and let her go. If a sister wants to be separated from her husband because of a valid reason, and the husband disagrees, she brings her case to the Muslim leader, judge, or what have you, and then he will handle it, inshallahu ta'ala. Is there a such thing as a contract in marriage? Yes. Is marriage in the hands of the women or man? Or is it for both? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it compulsory for the men who have the ability to do so to get married. And the ulama, they agree that either it is compulsory or strongly recommended. As far as the women, none of the ulama say that it's compulsory or strongly recommended for the women to get married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
For the iqama, we'll take some more questions. Although it's permissible for a husband to threaten to divorce his wife, and it would be better phrased, it is permissible for the husband to ask the lady, if you like, I'll divorce you, and if you like, I'll stay married to you. And we have mentioned this in our fifth class on the marriage and the text concerning that. And it's more proper for us to say that it's permissible for the husband to tell his wife, if you like, I will divorce you, and if you like, I will keep you. Can he keep on doing this, leaving the wife in total suspense, like she's hanging from a rope? If it's unkind to her that he seems to be just playing around with her, and she expresses this, it's not permissible for him to be unkind. He has to just tell her, either I'm going to keep you or I'll divorce you. Which one do you want? And then it's upon the sister to make her decision. Well, divorce me. I can't take it any longer. I feel that I'm being hanging by this rope, and if I hang any longer, I'm going to slip and fall. Also, is there any hadith that says your husband can talk harsh to your wife in any way? No. Astaghfirullah. And this should be the statement of all of the men. Astaghfirullah, because nobody knows better than us how hard it is not to talk to the women harshly. Astaghfirullah, الذي لا إله غيره. And we should really, nobody should think any sin to be too small. Shut up. The sister made me tell her that. But we should say astaghfirullah, because don't think that no sin is too small to say astaghfirullah for, and to turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to repent, and to repent to Him, to make salat to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to beg Him to forgive you, to give charity, to help the Muslims out. Nobody should feel that a sin is too small for him to seek forgiveness and turn to Allah and think of the ways that he can do to have his sins forgiven. Do you mean that there will be women in Jannah that can't smell anything? Allahu Akbar. It's nice that you put it that way, sister. But I think the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had meant it other than that. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was saying that if you seek this khulah for no valid reason, and some of the brothers were asking, how do we know if it's a valid reason or not? When they want to be remarried to you again in 2 more weeks after the khulah, then you know that it wasn't valid. 2 weeks ago, she couldn't keep her duty to her Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala. Now she could. What came in 2 weeks and being separated from you that she couldn't realize when she was right in her house, when you were right in her house? So no, if the women, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that they'll go to the hellfire. As far as the believing Muslim women and all of the believing Muslim men, that we would all go to Jannah eventually, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah and to save us from the hellfire. Amen. Is it permissible for a woman to seek a khulah while on her menstrual cycle? Yes, it's perfectly permissible for a lady to seek a khulah at any time, and that there's no restriction to when a lady can seek the khulah, like the divorce. I sought a khulah while I was on my menstrual cycle, and I would like to know if this is a valid khulah. Yes, it is valid. I was also told that a woman who seeks a khulah will not smell the fragrance of paradise. I think you heard that hadith at the beginning of the lecture. I want to know if after trying to seek counsel, but the husband refuses, and there's constant fighting, is it permissible then for the sisters to seek the khulah and to return the brother's dowry under the Sharia Islamic law? Unfortunately, we have a lot of these men.
They don't come to the masjid regularly. And they treat their women unkindly. And when their women want them to come into council, the men don't want to come because they know they're guilty. The lady just has to decide. And she feels it to that level. Her husband doesn't go to the masjid. He doesn't want to make salat. He doesn't want to be with a brother Muslim so he can take his admonishment like a man. Then there's no need to be with him. Just bring your case to the leadership and that brother will be dealt with inshallah ta'ala. Is it permissible for the father to take his child by age 7 or before if the woman remarries? This issue was dealt with yesterday. And when the child is of the age, and I don't know, 7 or whatever, you have to see from child to child. If the child is of the age where it can make his own decision, then whoever he chooses to be with has more right to him. And can she bring him before Islamic Council to prove some kind of deception on his part while married? Example, keeping in touch with an ex-girlfriend, etc. For what reasons and other disrespectful treatments to his wife? As far as his ability to take and care and support a child or children. Anyway, all of these excuses or reasons or whatever, they don't change the verdict of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet already gave the verdict and we mentioned it yesterday. And whoever wants to refer to that tape for the details yesterday, they can find that when the child is younger than the age of making its own decision, then the mother has more rights to the child so long as she doesn't remarry. If she does, then the father has more rights to the child. If the child is of the age where they can make the decision for themselves, then the child makes the decision without being forced to one or the other, and whoever the child chooses, then that parent has more right to that child. And then we went on to the other details if the parents aren't involved and so on, and we can refer to that. What kind of reminder can a wife give her husband when he doesn't realize that he speaks to her in an ill manner? I think this letter right now is the best advice you can give her. Give him. After which, she continually informs him of his tone, which he speaks off, offends her, and hurts her feelings. The lady, she can advise her husband. She can advise her friends to advise their husbands to advise him. And like this, so that the brother can get the picture, inshallah ta'ala. We don't want to delay the salah any longer than the 10 minutes that we usually do. After the salatul maghrib, inshallah ta'ala, we could continue. Alhamdulillah, wa shahadu an la ilaha illallah, wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'du. We have a question from the brothers, inshallah. All right, the brother is asking concerning if the khula' takes place and then the lady is trying to wait one menstrual cycle and it never comes and she realizes she's pregnant, what's the obligation of the brother? Once the khula' takes place, they are not permissible for one another, so it's over with between them. However, when that child is born, it is compulsory on the father to provide for his child. And we know in the early months or years of the child's development that there's no way to provide for the child except by giving the money to the mother. If the mother is breastfeeding, then that means she needs to eat a little more and to eat healthy so that the baby can be healthy, and it would be compulsory on the man to give the money to the lady while she's breastfeeding and to give the mother the money to the mother until she raises the child up to the point where the child can take the money or the father can buy for the child straight, and then the father can continue to take care of the child as it is the duty of the father. No difference of opinion from the first to the last scholars that is compulsory on the father to provide and to maintain his children no matter who they're with, no matter where they at on this earth. It is the duty of the father to maintain those children. My husband left the home at the end of April with all of his belongings. When I asked him if he was divorcing me, he told me whatever I wish. He told me whatever I wish. I didn't want a divorce. He threatened me very well. I considered this abandonment and must wait for 4 months and 10 days, Iddah, inshallah. Is this correct? No. Not once has he called, and he is not caring for me. Now, since he hasn't feared Allah and hasn't dealt with this situation according to the Sharia, I don't want him back because I wouldn't treat him kindly because of the way he has handled this separation. If he would have pronounced divorce, then the marriage would be over. Shukran. Yesterday's class, the first portion of it, dealt with the verdict of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the lady who has been abandoned. At any rate, to summarize it all for this sister in particular, find that husband, give him his dowry back so that he can let you go with the khulr type of dissolving of the marriage, and then it's over with. You don't have anything to worry about. And if you want more details on this issue, then you can refer to last night's class on the abandonment and where do the children go after the divorce. In this community, there is a tremendous amount of divorce. Allahu Akbar. Via brothers divorcing the wives and sisters asking for khulars. In the eyesight of the non-believers, the disbelievers, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, Islam does not look inviting to them. Muslims, stop the divorce and try to keep your marriages. This is advice or dua, ameen. Firstly, in the eyesight of the disbelievers, Islam does not look inviting to them. I have not heard of a statement with more falsehood in it than this one. I've never heard of a statement so far from the truth than this one right here. In the eyesight of the disbelievers, Islam does not look inviting to them. What are they going to say? As we were mentioning in Wednesday night's class, that the Prophet ﷺ had a one-word da'wah, Islam, or accept Islam. And that tonight we saw the one-word da'wah and the brother entered into Islam. What is this sister talking about? No, what she's doing is making a point that has no validity whatsoever to it. She's making a point that is far away from the truth as anyone can get from the truth. As far as her advice, stop divorcing and try to keep your marriage, then this is a good advice for the people, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we saw from the ayah and from the hadith, encourage us to stay with our meat. Encourage us to stay with our meat. And she's just making the same type of advice, and that's good. But no one has the right to say that what we do doesn't invite the disbelievers to Islam, except that which is haram. We walking around practicing all kind of haram, ain't nobody said nothing about that. All those Muslims in the workforce ain't got no beards on them. Nobody ain't said that that wasn't inviting the kuffar to Islam. Nobody didn't say nothing about the men who imitate the kuffar in their dress. Look just like the kafirs. Ain't nobody said that that's chasing them away. We should look all of these Muslims on riba, their houses and their cars and their credit cards, and they flashing them all around, flashing the curses of Allah around like it's status. Ain't nobody said that that was chasing the people away from Islam. How are we going to talk about something that Allah has made perfectly permissible, that which would chase the disbelievers from Islam? What we should do is look at the sins, and that's what's chasing the disbelievers away from Islam and not doing that which is correct. If the woman asks for a khulr and she is pregnant, does the man have to support her while she is pregnant? No. After the khulr takes place, the man does not have to support her any longer at all. And that after the child, the only reason she's getting support is for the child. And really, it's not for her, it's for the child. But there's no way to give it to the child except through the mother, so you're giving it to the mother. In here, we wanted to make a point of advice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to that which is correct. And that is, if a sister wants a khulr, one of the ways she can use to see if it's valid or not is to just ask him to divorce. Listen, divorce me. I can't take it with you any longer. She's remaining with him during the iddah period, checking out, was she for real or not? She's checking out to see, and this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't know what's going to happen after that iddah period. Let him divorce you. You get provisions and shelter and kind treatment, except no relations. Let him do that. Hang in that house and see if he still wants you or if you still want him. Let 2 weeks go by or whatever, and don't be like the sisters who get a khulr, then 2 weeks later they want another. They want to be married to the same man. Wallahi, I can't stand it no more. I can't take being with him. There's no way in the world. Oh. Next week she marries him again. Really, the women, they should try to have a divorce if, you know, as Allah Ta'ala gives us 2 chances to take him back. To try the divorce and see if there's any possible way to make it back. If so, then live together in harmony. As when you divorce, you see that this thing has gotten real serious. Then you're just checking it out. Everybody's reflecting, thinking it over and over and over. And if you really decide like that, you got 3 months, it's over with. Alhamdulillah, you know that it was valid. But we should stay away from this khulr that is without a valid reason, because this is serious, as this is the issue of Jannah and the Hellfire. Should a woman seek a khulr if she has committed adultery? Is this a valid reason? If a sister committed adultery and she wants to admit it, she should buy an umrah ticket, go to the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, make a umrah, get her sins forgiven, tell the government that she's sane and that she committed adultery so that they can strike her with 100 lashes and then stone her to death as the verdict of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in his book. And this was the advice of one of my teachers, Al-Qurashi, who was the teacher who used to teach us Sahih al-Bukhari. When we asked him this question, he said, don't worry. Send them to us, we'll take care of them. We'll give them that which would purify them. And we know, as Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that this is a means of purification. That they can meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala after this striping and this being stoned to death, that they can meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala free of their sins. And this is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's mercy, walhamdulillah. Yes. The brother is asking, for the man who didn't give the dowry to the lady in the first place, when she wants a khulr, what's she going to do? Myself, you know, I discourage any marriage, and I won't let any marriage take place if the man doesn't give the lady a dowry.